The gospel for Christmas Day is the famous prologue to John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That, of course, is the hinge upon which all of Christianity turns. That God's eternal Word enters into the sort of muck and mud and dysfunction of our human condition. He really becomes flesh. I find, though, that to get a better feel for that, the sort of texture of it, it's good to go to the beginning of Matthew's gospel, because John's statement can sound a little bit abstract. The Word became flesh. But if you look in Matthew, his gospel begins with this famous genealogy, all of the ancestors of Jesus. And keep in mind that if Jesus had a mother, so God has a mother, it also means that God had a grandmother. God had a great-grandfather. God had cousins. God had aunts. God had weird uncles. God entered into all of the ambiguity of our human condition. And the genealogy of Matthew really brings this out, I think, very beautifully. And mind you, it's the first thing you read in Matthew, which means the first thing you read in the whole New Testament is this genealogy. And I bet most of us, upon picking up Matthew's gospel, would say, oh yeah, Abraham became the father of Isaac, and the father of Jacob, the father of Perez and Zerah. We say, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Let's get to the, you know, Christmas story. But that's a mistake, because this is a very telling part of the gospel. We hear, for example, that one of Jesus' ancestors is Jacob. Now, who is Jacob? A great hero, certainly. One of the great patriarchs of Israel. But Jacob was also someone who famously wrestled with God. We have a beautiful account in Genesis of Jacob wrestling all night with God and then being wounded permanently as a result. I bet there are a lot of people watching this video right now who have spent a lot of their lives wrestling with God. Believe in God, yes. Take God seriously, yes. But have doubts, have questions, anxieties. Maybe during times of failure and suffering, you wonder, God, what are you doing? Wrestle with God. And maybe because of that, you might even be spiritually wounded, the way Jacob was wounded permanently by the struggle. Okay. Christ was pleased to have Jacob, this wrestler with God, as one of his ancestors. He's pleased to have us who wrestle with God as members of his family. You know what else is mentioned here, which is really extraordinary, is Rahab. One of Jesus' ancestors is Rahab. Do you know her story? She was a prostitute. So when the Israelites are coming into the promised land, they have to conquer these cities. And Rahab gave protection to the Israelite spies. So when they finally come into the city, she's preserved, you know. You think anybody who wants to tell a sort of neat, politically correct, cleansed story would find a way to drop Rahab out. You know, let's just not mention Rahab. There she is, right in the beginning of the New Testament. One of Jesus' ancestors was a prostitute. Are there people listening to me right now who maybe feel, look, I'm such a sinner. What would God ever have to do with me? I'm not a mild sinner. I'm a serious sinner. You know, and so a long time ago, I just wrote off God. And God, I'm sure, wrote me off. I don't know. Right there in the Bible, right there in the genealogy of Jesus, we hear about Rahab. Jesus was pleased to have a prostitute as one of his ancestors. Now, I'm not approving of prostitution, don't get me wrong, but he's the descendant of Rahab. Is he pleased to have, yes, even serious sinners in his spiritual family? Absolutely. You know what else is mentioned here is Ruth. Now, Ruth's story you can read in her book, the book of Ruth. And it's fascinating. Ruth is not an Israelite. She was a Moabite. She was an outsider, not an Israelite. But she married into an Israelite family, and when her husband died, she remained loyal to her mother-in-law, and she went back from her country to Israel to live with the mother-in-law. Where'd she go? She went to a little town called Bethlehem. And in that town, she eventually married, and she becomes the grandmother of Jesse. Jesse, who in turn is the father of David, the greatest king in Israelite history. Jesus is the son of David. Well, David is the great grandson of Ruth. I bet there are people listening to me right now, watching this video, who feel, you know, I'm kind of an outsider. I'm not in the in group. I'm not one of the approved people. I'm like a foreigner. I'm on the outskirts of things. Well, Jesus is pleased to have, as one of his ancestors, Ruth, who is not Israelite, who is a Moabite woman. Don't feel that you're unworthy of being in Christ's family if you feel like an outsider. And then, how about David, whom I already alluded to? David, clearly the greatest king in Israel, arguably the greatest figure, period, in the whole Old Testament. The slayer of Goliath, the one who gathered the tribes, who conquered Jerusalem, brought the Ark of the Covenant. He's the archetypal king of Israel. And he's a murderer and he's an adulterer. Read the story in 2 Samuel about Bathsheba and what David does, you know, in the wake of his illicit affair with Bathsheba. I bet there are people listening to me right now, watching this video, who perhaps are very powerful, like David. Powerful in industry or business or politics. And maybe you feel you've got a hidden sin. Maybe you've abused your power in some way. Jesus is pleased to have David, this murderer and adulterer, as his ancestor. He's pleased to have you, too, as a member of his family. Here's the last one. Also in this genealogy, we hear about Azor, Eliakim, and Zadok. Who were they? No one knows. No one knows who they were or what they did. I bet there are some people listening to me right now, watching this video, feel like, look, I'm just a nobody. I mean, what have I ever accomplished? Who am I? Well, Jesus is pleased to have these figures as his ancestors. The point is, the Word becomes flesh. Allow Matthew to tell you what that feels like and looks like, what the texture of that is. It means that God pushes into our very dysfunctional, ambiguous family. And see, that is incomparably good news for us who are members of the same kind of dysfunctional family. That is the great good news of God's incarnation.